Hello. My name is Jérôme Dupont, and I work at the French National Library in the IT department. So today, I will talk to you about the SPAR project, which is the software we use to archive our digital material. In the first part, I will describe the SPAR system. So the SPAR system is an AIS compliant system, and I will describe the different components quite briefly. In the second part, I will focus on metadata issues and shows how we have organized our metadata and on how we can query it. After that, I will talk about our experience because SPAR has been released 1 year ago. So we have learned some lessons from the reality and the daily archiving activity. So first of all, why the SPAR project? The first goal of the SPAR project is to preserve all the French National Library digital materials. So it's quite diverse material. You have books, of course, digitized books, still image, but also audiovisual materials and web archive and so on. So the idea is that we have very diverse material and we have to have flexible systems to take account of this diversity. Another key point is that this project involved many people in the BNF, not only the IT department, but also librarians, preservation experts, and management. So it was a project of all the institutions and just something which was done in a technical point of view, for example. What were the decisions was taken, the underlying decision? The first idea is to build a central repository for all our collection. We could have several small repositories. We have preferred to realize one central one. And we wanted to take inspiration from good practices of the preservation world. So for this reason, the key requirements was to do OAIS compliant system, to be modular and distributive. So here the idea is to make the system as scalable as possible to add some collection easily. Wanted something abstract. Abstract, it means that it's independent of the storage equipment we use. So we can right now preserve our document on tape technology, on band technology. Tomorrow this will be preserved on something else, disk, video disk, something else. We still don't know. So we want to be independent on this kind of equipment to continue the preservation activity and to evolve like we want. We wanted to use well-known formats and standards. So the idea is to describe our archive in the more standard ways and to use, for example, METS format, which describes a digital package. And at the end, as much as possible, we wanted to use open source technology. Here, the idea is to be independent of the software company. So the idea is that if a software company fails, we can have a handle on how the software is done. So we have the source of every the code we use, and we know everything. So rapidly, the planning to give you an idea of how long the project is. The first study were done in 2004, and after that the key decision that I just mentioned have been done. After that, we built the infrastructure and we started to build the software system. So a trend were done, and the core part has been done, and the first version was released in 2010. And right now we are continuing. We are adding new channels, new collections, and new features. So, and there is no real end planned for this project, of course. This is once again the OAS slide, so I won't detail it. It's just to show how we have implemented it. So that's the theoretical one. And that's what we did at BNF. So what is the difference? The first difference is the pre-ingest stage. What does it mean? Since we have some diverse collections, the package that we get are completely have different forms. So this stage is necessary to normalize these packages and to transform it in a common format, in SIP format. So basically, it's a package with a manifest. What else? We have divided the storage phase in two parts. One which is more package related, which is in charge of checking user requirements for storage. So, if user want two copies for his collections or three or four, it checks, it audits packages. And the storage abstraction service is more in charge of technical stuff. So it will check the integrity, it will check the diversity of the storage material, and things like that. So this difference is more an architecture choice. So that's it. And one thing more, the preservation module has not been done yet because it was not mature enough to do it. So now I will detail, give a description of each component. PointJS module, so like I said, it normalizes producer documents in SIPs, and which means it organizes package. So all the package of all collection after this stage have more or less the same structure. It collects external data, metadata. So for example, for our digitization documents, we at this stage we add bibliographic information, such as the title of a book, things like that. And at the end, it's metrified metadata. What does it mean? It means that the description of a package is done in the METS format, which is an XML format defined by the Library of Congress, and which contains all the information needed about the package at this stage. So after that, once the PointJS has finished its job, it sends the package to the ingest module. So the ingest module, his role is to control that the package is fulfills requirements which has been defined for what we want. So for example, for digital printed document, it checks that it's in TIFF format, that all the TIFF image which are inside the package are real TIFF one, and extract the technical metadata. So this phase of control is very important because it's more or less the last time we control the package. After, it will be in the archive. So that's it. So once all the formats are checked and are okay, we extract technical metadata about this format, about the files, and we store this metadata in the descriptive information. And finally, when the package is built, we have an IAP and have to be indexed in the data management module, and in one hand, and in the another hand, stored in the archive itself, in the storage module. So the ingest at the end coordinates these two stages and say when it's okay. So after a data management module, I will detail it later. Basically, it indexes metadata, all metadata about the packages. So it's technical metadata about files, about history of documents, things like that. And it provides request engine to make queries on our collections. The access modules provide external access for disseminating packages and querying archives. And at the end, administration module, which is a very generic name, it gives tools to the operator to operate the sparse systems. So we have dashboard, some interfaces to know if a package is okay or not, where is it, etc. What is important is every activity of every package is logged in our system, in databases, and this information is very useful to get this all the information about activity of our archive. So that was for the first part. Now, in the second part, I will focus on data issues. So I cannot describe all the system in a detailed way, so we have chosen today to see the metadata aspect. So basically, how is our information model? So every package has several information, and it's based on the MATES format, which is a format which was defined by the Library of Congress, and it contains all the information needed to preserve to describe a package to be preserved. So you have a header. After, you have a DMD section, a descriptive section, which contains bibliographic metadata, a description of intellectual content of the package. So at BNF, it's just some small things. It's quite short because in another place we have a catalog which is very detailed. So for up-to-date information and a very detailed reuse catalog, and here it's just to give indication on the package in the archive. It's not the key functionality of the archive. After, we have the administrative section, which contains four subsections. The first one is technical metadata. So that's depend of objects which are inside the package, and it gives information about formats. So typically for an image, it gives resolution, it gives, it indicates if it's a black and white or color image, things like that. So for audiovisual, it would be another kind of information. So for each of these information, we have a specific schemas, which is adapted to the field of the format of the object. After, we have a DigiProv MD, which contains provenance metadata, and that contains all the history of a digital object. So it's structured by events. So what events have been occurred on the object? So it can be digitization. It can be spar ingest and things like that. And for each event, we have a set of information for example, the date. For digitization, it can be the equipment on which it has been digitized and things like that. After that, we have source metadata. So source metadata is information about the original document, the physical one. And finally, write metadata. So write metadata, we don't use it at BNF, it's stored elsewhere. Why? Because the write metadata can change quite quickly over the time, because law changes and the status of documents is changing over the time. It can become the date of public domain can arrive. So for preservation, it's not accurate to preserve it. It's because if we would store it, we would have to change it too often. After we have information about the content of a package, the file section. The file section is the inventory of files in the package. With that, we have the struct map section, which is a logical map of a package. We can have one or two or three struct map of a package, depends on the view we want to have on it. The struct link section, we don't use it much, and behavior section, we don't use it in Spark. Another aspect is what is a package in Spark? What is the granularity level? So we have four levels of granularity. The first one is set. Set is a set of packages. So it can be a periodical, it can be a multi-module monograph. So a set is a package itself, and it's connected to different individual packages, which are groups, and groups is the classical package, it's a physical document, actually. So it can be a monograph, an issue of a periodical, a CD, things like that. Inside the package, after, we have sub-granularity level, which we called them objects. So it can be a page of a book, a face of gramophone, a track of a CD. So here we are inside a package. And an object can have several representations, and each representation has a file. So typically for a printed material, we have the image of the page, and we have the text in the text corresponding. So that was a very quick description of what we store like information and how do we organize it. So in ingest phase, in ingest stage and storage phase, we store it in XML files, but to query it was not sufficient. So I will show it in the slide after. So it's transformed in a RDF technology to be stored and indexed more easily. One important thing I want to mention here also is that we store information about package themselves, but also information, meta information. So typically, we store in the system in the special package we call reference package, all information about formats, what is a TIFF format in general, information about our processes, how Spark works, so our specifications are inside the system. SLA, so the service level agreements we have concluded with users, and things like that. So now I will mention why we used RDF and what it brings it. What are the advantages? So the problem with XML is that the data is confined inside a package. So it's hard to query two metadata which are in two different packages. And even inside XML files, it's very verbose files, it's quite big, so it's not evident, it's not easy to navigate inside the file between the file section, the behavior section, and the bibliographic section, for example. It's possible, but it's a little bit longer. So we have chosen RDF. What is RDF? RDF, the idea is to describe the metadata as a single concept. So if each metadata, nearly each metadata in the system is a concept, which is connected with the other one. And each metadata is identified by an identifier. So what is it? Concretely, a package has an identifier, it aggregates file, each file is a concept which is has is its own identifier, and so on. And the connection is done by sentences. So, for example, here you can have a package aggregates files, or a set aggregates packages, aggregates group. And what is very interesting in this way of modeling is that you can make links very easily between metadata of different packages. So for example, when I say that a set is connected, it aggregates groups, I have an inter-package link, and it's completely transparent in our information model. Well, so that's very very nice, but it's also useful to know in which package we are, so we keep information, this information. So to be more concrete, I will give you a concrete example of how it works. So here we have the METS file. As we can see here, so it's a little bit verbose, I will explain rapidly. So it's about a book which is titled Impressions de Sicile, and the author is Maria Volkonskaya. So you can see it in the descriptive section which is on the top. And you see there are Dublin Core Balayes, DC title, DC creator. So what happened to this package? He has been ingested in SPAR. So we have logged this information in the METS file. And that's the second block. So you can see here the premise event. That's an event. And it has an identifier, which is the horrible string F4CA, etc., etc. I won't read it entirely. What else? The date. It was done on June 30, 2010. The result of this operation, ingest completion, was valid. And who has done this operation? So it's a BNF process because it's a part of SPAR process, and we have its identifier, which is the BR2D2HACT9. So that is related to the our specification, and it's behind this identifier is a specification which says how works ingest completion. So how does it look like in RDF? So as you can see here, we have two concepts here. The first one is the identifier of a package. So it's an ARC identifier, ARC for ARK. It's a norm for identifying everything, which were done by the California Library. So this package ARC 12148 and BPT6K and so on, sorry, has a type. It's a group. It has a title and an author, Maria Vankonskaya, Impression de Sicile, and it has events. It's connected to events, and you can see the link. Spa provenance has events, which is a verb, and connects it to another object, to another identifier, which is the identifier of the event itself. Just after, we have definition about this event. So this event has a type. All the objects are typed in RDF. It's not mandatory, but it's very useful. So it's an event, and it's an ingest completion. We have a date and a performer, which are associated to it. And the has performers, it's also a link to another concept. And if we go behind this identifier, we will find the specification. So now we will see how we query this kind of package. So we have a select phrases. So we ask for a package, which is a group, which has title Impression de Sicile. A creator we don't know, we want to query it. And it has event. And this event is ingest completion. And we want to query for this event ingest completion the date and the performer. So now the answer. Okay, and now we have the answer, the different attributes of the package. So what is interesting here is basically we can query every information of a package directly. We just have to know our model, and it's quite easy to use once the model is known. It's very very close to the way to the natural language. So that was the data management part. So there is a few times. So we will go to the third part. The third part is about 1 year activity of archiving. So rapidly, I've give you the number of package which has been archived in our system to give you an idea of the size of our archive. So what appeared after 1 year of use? The first thing is at the beginning it was difficult to follow the complete package state because since the system is distributed, everything happens in different place, in different server, in different machine, in different disk, in different monitoring database. So we have to improve our administration tools to gather this information about a package and to reduce the time to diagnose a problem on a package. In the same way, we have added dashboard about ingest activity to follow the activity of the archive. And we have added also mass processes to operate an operation on several processes and to follow it easily. So what we have learned also, it's some problem occurred for different reasons. First of all, we had to handle a package much more bigger than what we thought at the beginning. So here I have written 10 gigabytes, but recently we had a 100 gigabyte package. Why? Because the user want very high resolution images, it's quite huge. So to have this kind of issues, it's hard to handle. Why? Because the storage of package is much more difficult, because our tapes are too small. We have to store our package in several tapes. And there is many copies of package all along the life cycle, ingest process, and it takes much time. So it's more difficult to follow. So we had to optimize our system. It's a quite heavy activity, and we will change our tapes to have larger tapes to store our package. It was a new system, so many technical issues appeared, particularly on storage stage and RDF store. So very rapidly, some the kind of graphic interface we have used. So here you have the state of a package, and you can see there is two copies. For each copies, we have a physical address, a physical path, and the number of a tape where it's stored. And we have also the checksum of each file. And below we have different processes that happen to the package. So ingest process, data management process, and storage process. For each process, we have a more detailed view when each stage is detailed. Okay, that's another interface of our storage resources. So you can see here that one is full, and we have added one over. So the full one is still in read-only mode to permit to read the package, and the new package are entering to the CAPS AIP-4 capsules. The capsule is a storage unit, basically. Okay, so I will conclude now rapidly. So we have seen how we have implemented OAIS standard with a different module, what we have done more, what we have not done yet. We focus on metadata, how we modelize our information model. And finally, some words about what happens when you have a real archive in your hands and what you have to improve to make it work in an easier way. And what's next for us? So we will have this year to migrate old collection, because we have still 1 million documents to archive, which are old documents. We will have to manage storage migration because we change our tapes. So all the package we have, which are on old tapes, we will have to migrate it on new tapes. So the storage module contains a functionality to do it in a more easier way, but it takes time. And we try to decimate use of SPAR in the library to provide information about archive and digital documents. We will develop also new channels. We have done the first step of third archiving, so it was delivered. And this year we should have a first collection which will enter in SPAR, we hope. We are developing right now the module to ingest web archives, our web archives. And we will do some new features, preservation, I don't know where exactly, and administration. We always have to improve our administration module. Okay. So that was my conclusion. Thanks for your attention, and if you have any questions, you're welcome.